good morning. It is great to see you this morning. I'm glad that you chose to worship with us today. What a great day to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where we're going today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, time. We're in a series asking about questions and asking the right questions, trying to find a better question to be asking. And when it comes to time, we're all tethered to time, aren't we? Time is something that we have to have. It's something we are always constantly looking at, whether it's on our phones or whether it's on our watches. If I were to tell you to take the next 30 minutes and do not look at a clock, it would be almost difficult, wouldn't it? One, you're getting hungry, and so the longer we go, I mean, you're just going to, that your mind's going to go to it. But time is something we have to have. It is something we have. It's schedules. It's something that every bit of our week is tied to time. We like to get out of it. We'd like to get away from it, but yet time is ever present. And the question becomes, how well do we use our time? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Remember that old elementary joke where it asked, why did the boy throw the clock out the window? He wanted to see time fly. Time truly is flying, and over the next few moments, we're going to be talking about time and how we use our time. And maybe if we ask a better question, then just maybe God would do something different through us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Here's what the Bible says. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for how that you allow us together with other believers. I thank you for the incredible privilege of singing praise songs to you. I know that as you've met with us already, God, my heart has already been ministered to, and God, you're speaking already. Heavenly Father, I'm just asking now that your Holy Spirit would have freedom in this place. God, would you anoint this moment? The preparation has been done, so God, I pray that you would anoint my tongue to speak the way you want me to speak. And now as we go into this moment, I'm also asking that you would have freedom in this place, that your Holy Spirit would open our ears, that we would remove the distractions, and that God, you would speak into our hearts. We came to hear from you. And God, you're already in this place. You're already speaking. You're already moving. And so, Father, I pray that you'd continue. And God, I pray that we would walk out of here a different people because we've heard from you. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the writer here, he begins to lay out for us. He says, there's a time for everything. And he goes through most of life. And there are times in which there is laughter, times in which there's sadness. And he goes back and forth. And he said, there's time for everything in life. And it begs the question, how well do we use our time? Now, you know time is short. And especially as you get older, you begin to feel the pressure of time being short, don't you? I remember as a teenager, you thought you had lots of life. And then I remember hitting my senior year and graduating and going, whoa, my senior year went just like that. And then now I'm sitting here, I've got a teenage daughter who's almost to be 16. And I'm going, oh my, where'd the time go? I can't believe she's about to drive by herself. That's a little scary. So I'm sitting here, and as time continues, it goes so fast. And here's what the Bible says about time. There is a shortness of time. Shortness of time, Psalm 39:4 says, Lord, make me to know my end. And the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. There are moments in which we think we're supermen, superhuman, where we don't have to worry about time, that time never enters into our picture. And the psalmist writes, God, help us to remember, help us to know that we are frail. And it's in those moments where we get sick, or maybe we come face to face with the reality of death. I remember as a kid thinking, hey, I'm invincible. And then there was this moment where I came face to face with a grandparent dying. And there's just like, oh, wow, there's death? Oh, wow. And I remember in third grade, one of my friends, he passed away. And then it was, oh, my, Really? Third grade? Really? And there's this moment where life begins to take on a new reality. And let's be honest, we don't like to think about death. We don't even want to think about our end because we want to just keep going the way we're going. And it's a lot easier to suppress it. It's a lot easier to not think about it. And a lot easier just to go through life. But the psalmist says we need to stop and pause and reflect. Psalm 144 and verse 4 says, man is like vanity. His days are as a shadow that pass away. Now, we've had beautiful weather yesterday. You walk outside, you see your shadow. Can you imagine? This is what your life is like. It's like a shadow that means really nothing. That you see it one moment, and the next moment you don't see it. That's a hard reality, isn't it? I know I'm scaring you a little bit. You're like, Keith, that's a downer after just singing praises. I know. James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You drink your coffee in the morning and you have the steam coming off. And the steam goes up for just a moment, maybe that high, maybe a little higher, depending on how hot your coffee is. And then it's gone. And there's this reality that you need to understand and that I need to be reminded of over and over again, that life is short. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed to live forever. Except if you're saved, then you can live forever in heaven. But you're not guaranteed to live tomorrow. Here on earth. I had a preacher friend of mine who I served under. He used to say that the old must die, the young may die. But either way, it's a common reality. Ephesians 5 says this, 5:16, this is where we started our series. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, doing what? Redeeming the time. Purchasing back, buying back your time. Have you ever thought about how much time you spend doing certain items, certain things? Let me give you some illustrations about how short our time is and how well we use our time. You ready? Sleeping. Now, most of us like to sleep. Do you know how many years you will spend sleeping if you are the average person? Here's what it says. 23 years of your life will be spent sleeping. Now, if you sleep longer, it'll be more than that. Listen, that's 32%. That's a third of your life will be spent just sleeping, doing nothing else but sleeping. That's a little harsh, isn't it? What about the next one? Work. How long will you spend working? 16 years. That's 22% of your life will be spent at work. Doing work. Going to work. TV. I don't know if you like watching TV, like watching movies. Ready for this? The average person will spend 8 years of their life watching TV. 11% of their life will be spent watching TV. Eating. Anybody like to eat? Just the time that you spend eating. Here's what it is. 6 years or 8% of your life will be spent eating. I would like to bounce that up a little bit higher. I like to eat. Let's get that a little higher. I don't know if we can or not. Traveling, 6 years. Leisure, having fun, 4.5 years. Illness. Now, I wish we could wipe this one out completely. But being sick, you will spend at least, the average healthy person overall throughout their life will spend 4 years being sick. Getting dressed and getting ready in the morning. Now, if you spend 30 minutes a day, this is based off of 30 minutes. So if you spend more than 30 minutes a day getting dressed, then we have to bounce this percentage on up, okay? So 30 minutes. If you spend 30 minutes getting dressed, you're going to spend at least 2 years of your life just getting dressed. Religion, 0.5 years. Richard Needleham said this, the seven stages of man are spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. That's the seven stages. So here we are. What do we do with this? Now, we know there's a shortness of time, and we feel it. We know it. We understand it. We feel it. And so the question becomes, how do we begin to move forward? Because we know it's short, and yet we don't really want to ask the questions about how to live our life. We just kind of want to go through life. It's a lot more fun just to have fun and never ask the question. But what would happen if we asked questions and ask better questions? Here's what would begin to happen. You ready? We need to understand this principle. Investing small amounts of time over a long period will give huge returns. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4 says this, he becomes poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make rich. Here's the principle. The diligent means that it's something that you do every day. Now, I'm going to use an illustration just to kind of help make sure we get it. It can apply to multiple areas of your life. It can apply to relationships. It can apply to your work. It can apply to your schooling. It can apply to your job. It can apply to a lot of different things. But we're going to take this principle, and I want to flesh it out for us to make sure we understand it. Investing small amounts of time over a long period actually gives us huge dividends. So let's use getting healthy, all right? So this is the beginning of the year still a little bit, so we can talk about that. Let's just say I wanted to start getting healthy. So what is that going to look like? Now, if I say I'm going to start getting healthy, and the idea and the principle is that I need to invest small amounts of time over a long period, that's what's going to actually create this idea, this goal of being healthy. If I were to say, I'm going to eat a salad today, am I now healthy? It would be nice, wouldn't it? That way I don't have to eat another salad all week long. I eat it once and I'm good. And I can eat it once next week and I'm good. That's not really going to get me healthy, right? But what if I said this? Every day, at least one meal, I'm going to eat a salad. Would that begin to change my health? Now, would I notice a difference the first day? Would I notice a difference the second day? What about at the end of the week? Maybe not. But after a few months, would I notice a difference? The answer is yes. Okay, same thing with exercise. Let's say this. If I go and I work out for 3 hours, and I'm like, yes, I'm going to work out, I'm going to get healthy, and I work out for 3 hours, would I be then considered healthy? No, I'd be really sore, and I probably wouldn't be able to get out of bed the next day, right? But I wouldn't be considered healthy. Now, what if I did this? What if I took 15 minutes a day for 5 days a week? Would I then begin to see a difference? Would I see a difference the first day? No. Would I see it the first week? Probably not. I'd be really sore and probably sick, right? And then after 6 months, would I begin to see a difference just by doing 15 minutes a day for 5 days a week? The answer is yes. Now, are you following this? It's the diligent. It's the hand of the diligent who begins to use their time wisely. So investing a small amount of time over a long period begins to create huge dividends. Now, let me be honest with you. You do something negative for a long period of time, it also creates huge negative returns. Does that make sense? And that's a hard reality for us to begin to understand. So where do we have to go? The next phrase and the next point that we have to make is this. So not only investing small amounts of time over a long period gives us huge dividends. Number two, the wise person, and that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to become wise, ask better questions. The wise person understands the difference between what is important and what is urgent. Proverbs 21:25 says this, what the sluggard desires will kill him. You see, the sluggard or the foolish person, whatever they see, whatever they desire, whatever they crave, whatever they lust for, whatever they want, they just go get it. They don't think anything about it. They just go after it. For his hands will refuse to work. Psalm 90 and verse 12, it says this, teach us to number our days that we may gain the heart of wisdom. Now, the only thing that you can hope to do is you cannot manage time. Why can you not manage time? Because you can't take time from one day and add it to another. You can't decrease your hours today and then add it to tomorrow. You can't manage time. Time is an equal opportunity employer. You get 24 hours, I get 24 hours. Everybody gets the same amount of time. It's what we do with it. So the very best that we can do is not manage time. The very best that we can hope to do is to manage ourselves. Now, did you follow that? It's to manage the amount that we do in the given hour, in the given day, in the given half day. So we have to begin to ask a better question. What am I going to do? How am I going to be wise? If Ephesians tells us to redeem the time, to purchase back, to buy back our time, then what do we need to do? We need to ask better questions. And so I want to give you three questions. I'm going to give you these three questions, and I'll be honest, I started trying to work on this week and trying to ask myself at the end of the day these three questions. Why? Because I wanted to try to see how I was doing with my time, and I wanted to see if I was actually even doing it somewhat right. I'm going to give you a real honest assessment. You ready? What I began to realize is how often I'm failing. So the questions that you're going to ask yourself, these questions I want to give, I just want to give you a heads up that what it does is it causes you to evaluate your day, and then it might even cause some friction in your life. Matter of fact, when it caused friction in my life, you know what I wanted to do? I just wanted to stop, and I said, forget it. It's not worth it. It's too hard. I don't like feeling guilty. I don't like feeling like a failure. I don't like feeling like I'm not accomplishing something. So here's the questions. And here's the questions. Ready? Number one, what have I learned today? What have I learned today? Now, this question is so simple. But when you begin to look at your day and you begin to go back and forth and you begin to look at it and you go, okay, wait, what have I learned? And as I began to look at my day, I began to say, okay, yes, I grew here, yes, I grew here. And then I began to really look at where, how I used my time. And I would go, oh, man, I blew that. Oh, good grief. I missed that opportunity. If I would have done this in that moment, does that make sense? So what it's forcing me to do is to remember and to look and say, okay, this is how I live today. And if I would do something different tomorrow, that could maybe help. And I've had to begin to work through the failure. And it's so much easier, to go to bed naive and ignorant. I'll be real honest. It's so much easier just to go to bed and say, yes, I did a great job today, I'm good, and to not think about it. But what have I learned so that I can improve tomorrow, so that I can maybe do it a little bit better tomorrow? Number two, did I give my best? This is an easy question. Did I give my best? And overall, what we probably will say is this: absolutely, I gave my best. Absolutely, I did it. Because we want to go through the day and say, yes, every moment I gave my best. And as I began to walk through this question, I began to ask the question, okay, Heath, you had opportunities. God's placed in front of you. How did you do? Did you use your talents for God, or did you use it for yourself and for your glory? And I had to ask the question, and as I asked the question, okay, did I serve God to the best of my capability today? Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Did I use my talents? Did I do my very best, or did I just kind of slack off a little bit? Do you see how it becomes very convicting? And it's easier not to ask the questions. It's way easier. And then here's the third one. Did I bless people today? This one, maybe it's easy for you, maybe it's not, I don't know. But to stop to think, how did I, in my relationships, did I bless people? I can tell you how often I looked at this week and I said, no. Oh man, I blew that one. And then I'd try again, and then I'd try for a moment, and I'd get maybe an hour into it. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm like, okay, I blessed three people today. Great. And then you realize, oh, wait, I blew that one, and you had to go back and forth. And here's what it forces me to do. If we would ask a better question, it begins to push us to actually do something different with our time, doesn't it? But for the most part, it's so much easier not to do this. So here we go. So as I ask these questions, then there's this guilt, and I'll just be real honest. And then there's this flood of guilt that came over and said, man, Heath, you're missing it. You're dropping the ball. You're missing it all over. And so the question becomes now, what do you do with it? Where do you go from here? Because now you see the failure. Now you have this held up in front of you. So what do you do with it? And so here's the next point. You ready? Number three, start where you're at today. Start where you're at today. Now watch. Let's go back to our illustration of health, okay, for just a second. Let's say we wanted to get healthy, but over the last 10 years, we haven't exercised and we haven't eaten right. Okay? Now follow. I'm using this as an illustration, but you can apply it to so many different areas of your life. Understand the principle here. So you start where you're at today. So let's just say I haven't worked out for 10 years and I haven't eaten right, so I'm 150 pounds overweight. Okay? So I'm 150 pounds overweight, but today I say, okay, from this moment on, I'm going to get healthy. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to eat right. Guess what's going to happen? The healthy food's going to taste like junk. You know what I'm saying? All of that healthy stuff is going, ugh, that's gross. And it's not going to be filling. The salad is going to taste like paper. And it's not going to taste right. And you're going, how do people eat this? And it's going to taste terrible to you. And then you're going to have to do it the next day. And you're going, I can't believe I have to do this again. Does that make sense? You start today where you're at. And if it's been a long period of time where there's been negatives, it's going to be difficult. Let's be real honest. It's going to be hard. And then you're saying, okay, I'm 150 pounds overweight. Now I've got to exercise. Now I'm going to try to do something today. It's going to be extremely difficult. That first day, you're going to try to get on the treadmill, and you're going to be, oh, I can't believe I don't want to do this. Does that make sense? And then the next day, there's no way you want to get back on. And it's going to be difficult. So when there's a long period of time that you've had negative use of your time, it's going to be hard to get started. It's going to be hard to get it changed. And it's going to feel unnatural. It's going to feel uncomfortable. And you're not going to want to do it. And you're going to go, is it really worth even trying to use my time correctly? Because it doesn't seem to be working. Because after a day or two, or after a week, it doesn't seem like anything's changing. But when we've had that long period, here's where we have to go. You can't go back to the past and change it. Isn't that a hard reality? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go back to the past and change it? To go back and say, man, if I had it to do over again, if I could have done that again, 10 years ago, if I would have had that moment, that business trip, that whatever it is that you step back and go, if I would have had this to do over again, oh, how it would have been so much easier. If I could have talked to myself at that younger years, wouldn't that be nice? And you could just have that sit down. If you got one gift to be able to go back in time and you could spend some time with yourself 20 years ago, 10 years ago and say, hey, sit down, listen to what I'm telling you. If you would change this, if you would watch for this, it would radically transform your life. But guess what, guys? You can't go back to the past. So you have to start where you're at today. Does that make sense? Now, here's where Satan gets a lot of victory, is that he comes after us, and he condemns us, and he accuses us. He says, you're a loser. You've lost it all. It's all for nothing. You can't go back. You can't change it. And you're going, you're right. I don't know what I do. And here's what I want to encourage you. You ready? You start where you're at today, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what's going on, no matter what's falling apart. You say, okay, God, today is your day, and I'm going to give it back to you, and I'm going to do with today what I can. I'm going to place the past at the cross, and I'm going to realize that I can't do anything about the future, for the future is going to take care of itself. So I have to take care of today. I read this poem, and I would like to pass it on to you. It's called The Life Builder's Creed, okay, by Del Wetherington. And here's what it says. Today is the most important day of my life. Yesterday, with its successes and victories, struggles and failures, is gone forever. The past is past. Done, finished. I cannot relive it. I cannot go back and change it, but I will learn from it and improve my today. Today, this moment, now, it is God's gift to me, and it's all that I have. Tomorrow, with all of its joys, sorrows, triumphs, and troubles, isn't here yet. Indeed, tomorrow may never come. Therefore, I will not worry about tomorrow. Today is what God has entrusted to me, and it is all that I have. I'll do my best in it. I'll demonstrate the best of me in it. My character, giftedness, abilities, to my family and friends, clients, associates, I will identify those things that are most important to do today. And those things I will do until they are done. And when this day is done, I will look back with satisfaction at that which I have accomplished. Then and only then will I plan tomorrow, looking to improve upon today with God's help. And then I shall go to sleep in peace, content. Today. Start where you're at today. Start here. Start now. So let me give you a word of encouragement. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, we're going to put it up on the screen. I want to share with you just something that we have to walk through when we look at our time, when we look at how we've used it. The very first step that we have to go towards is this. We need to go towards getting right with God. You see, your time that you have, you're alive today, and God has given you that gift. It is a gift. It's a gift that God has given to you. And because it's a gift, when you choose to use it for His glory, for His purpose, and you choose to use it wisely, then we use that gift properly. But when we've used our gift for our glory, for our good, or maybe even just not even thinking about it, then we've violated the gift. And so where we have to start is this. Joel chapter 2, here's what it says. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Here's the call that God is calling out to us. He says, hey, your heart is what I'm after. I don't want the actions. I don't want you just to rip off outside and just say, oh, God, forgive me. I'm not wanting that. I'm wanting your heart. You see, God is always about your heart. You go, no, you're trying to get me to do more devotions. You're trying to cause me to, you know, just pray, to maybe serve. I hear you, but here's where it starts. What God wants more than anything else is your heart. He wants your love. He wants your love because he's a good, good father. That's what he wants. He wants your love. And he says, I want you to come back to me. Why don't you repent? Why don't you put it at the cross? Why don't you start there? And then here's what he says. He says this, return to the Lord your God, for he is a gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, just so we're clear, this is the God of the Old Testament. So many times people want to argue and say that the God of the Old Testament is all about anger, wrath, and killing people and destroying families. But notice that we're reading out of the Old Testament, and the prophet Joel says, this is who God is. He's a good God. He's merciful. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is something that you don't deserve. That you deserve God's wrath, and instead of getting God's wrath, God is kind towards you. Isn't that an amazing statement? He's merciful. He's slow to anger. I am so glad God is slow to anger. So many times I step out of line, and if God was quick to anger, man, he would be bopping me up the top of the head or sending lightning bolts all the time, right? But he's slow to anger, and he says, hey, this is who I am. I'm a merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You know what steadfast love is? It's the covenant-keeping, loving kindness. It's the hesed love, meaning that no matter what you do, no matter how far you run from God, God is ever pursuing you because he has chose to make a covenant with you to say, I love you, and no matter where you go, I love you. He's the bloodhound of heaven chasing you down, saying, no matter how far you stray, no matter how far you run, no matter how far you choose to ignore me, I am going to chase you down because I love you. Isn't that an amazing God? No matter how far you choose to run, he says, I'm coming after you. Not because of how good you are, but because of how much I love you. That is an amazing statement. And then Joel says this. You see, if we repent, we come to him and we ask for forgiveness. He's a good father. We start redeeming this time and we start taking advantage of the time that you have. Then God says this. You see that swarm of locusts that I sent to devour my great army? He says, I will restore to you. See, your past, I don't know what's going to happen with your past. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where it's at. But I know when you place it at the cross, there's forgiveness. Can there be restoration? There can be. I don't know what God will choose to do and how he will choose to work. But I know this. That God can take what has been damaged, and God can take and create something new out of it, and bless, and give healing, and give strength. And maybe today, just maybe, some of you need to hear that God can take those ashes, and those times, and those years that you've wasted, and maybe, just maybe, what you need to hear is this, that God can create beautiful things out of those ashes, and that rubble. And you've been sitting here for way too long. You've been sitting for way too long feeling guilty and feeling frustrated and feeling like you can't be used, and Satan is telling you lies and telling you you'll never be used again. And what God is wanting to tell to you today is this, that he loves you and he can restore and he can redeem. Wouldn't that be amazing? Why don't you come back to him? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you give your life to him? It will be the greatest thing you've ever done. Why? Because what you'll find is this. You'll find a loving God who can forgive you of your sins and restore you and take your brokenness and make something beautiful out of it. For some of you, you've trusted Jesus as a kid. You've gave your heart to Him. And maybe you've been running. Maybe you've just kind of been backsliding. Yes, your heart has been going so far from God and you've been missing it. And you've been loving other things. Let's return to Him. And let's take this time from this moment on and let's pursue loving God. And let's watch Him restore and work great things out of our time and our life.